Welcome to Psalm chapter 3. We have already covered Psalm 1. I do pray that you have memorized Psalm 1 about the blessed man and how you stand. Psalm chapter 2 was primarily about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it ends with, in verse 12, where it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So Psalm 2 finishes with Jesus Christ as the king, and the heathen do rage. Now David writes Psalm chapter 3, and I'll read you Psalm chapter 3 and then I'll go over a couple of verses here. So the psalmist says here, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many that there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me around about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." So David here writes when he calls unto the Lord, and obviously Psalm chapter 2 put the emphasis on why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing. I do think there's a difference between someone that is lost, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where that they just haven't believed. And yet I think there is a lot of difference also with the heathen rage. They're the ones that don't want to believe, and they willfully want to be as a heathen. And of course, when their trouble comes, the Lord will laugh, as it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, and have them in derision. And understand that when David writes here Psalm 3, if you're a believer, don't always expect that you won't go through life without suffering. David did, and so did Jesus Christ. We're not above our master. So suffering is a part of the believer's life. And so here we do see David writing, and he says that they rise up against me, but many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now if you just take your Bible with me and go over to Luke chapter 23, and we'll read this account of the cross. And keep in mind that when David says here, where he claims that there is no help for him in God, of course that's what happened at the cross where Jesus Christ was crucified for us. So in Luke chapter 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 32. And if you cast your mind to the cross, you've got the two malefactors on one side of him and then on the other. And they were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, I'll just turn the page here, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast his lots. And you remember the cry from the cross where Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In verse 35, "And the people stood beholding, and they heard Jesus cry from the cross. And the rulers also with them derided him," meaning wanting something from him, "saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.' And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew, 'And this is the king of the Jews.'" So when you come back to Psalm chapter 3 with me, you think here that David says there is no help for him in God, Selah. Verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." And you know, when you look at the cross, you know, you're looking there at a at a person that has been crucified, which was our Saviour, and his head is hanging low. And verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me. And it seems to be some parallel when Jesus did die. He did die, he was buried, and he rose again, amen. And we know that. Let's come over now to Psalm chapter 2. I think you all should be familiar with Psalm chapter 2. We'll read this account here about the Son of God, and we'll pick this up in around about, let's go to verse 4, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll go back to verse 3 to keep it in context. I do like to keep scripture in context. When you're reading a Bible, keep it in context, and that way you'll have a better understanding of the passage and meaning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels have he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? And you think about God and you think about man, and truthfully, God did not have to save man, but he had a plan before the foundation of the world. Verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. And this is Jesus Christ here, where Jesus stepped out of glory and took on the robe of became a man. And here you see that as a man, he's a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And of course, we also as men and women are also a little lower than the angels. But God set man up and has put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So as a man, he tasted death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And so when you look at Psalm chapter 3 and you think of suffering, you think of Jesus on the cross and the suffering and the deride of the people, where they yelled out and mocked him and said, well, he saved others, but will his God save him? And of course, there's the cry of the cross that where hast thou forsaken me? Here we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He was made as a man, and he suffered death. And here it's a great, wonderful thing to be the captain of their salvation, perfect for suffering. And aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for you? He died for you. And once you believed on him, he is now the captain of your salvation. And we can really shout out and thank God for that. And then verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And you know, you see here that there's a resurrection, there's a time of glory, there's a time of joy. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there was a time of joy in my life. Everything seemed to become alive and real, and it seemed as though I could see that the earth and heavens were made by our God and by our great God, and there's something the Spirit of God does within you, and you all of a sudden start to see and understand some of the things from the Word of God. And again, I'll put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God have given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power over death, that is the devil. So there's a great victory here. and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took on, not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself have suffered, being tempted, and he is able to succour them that are tempted. So when you come back to Psalm chapter 3 here, we will continue here with David's cry in verse 4, and I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people. Thou have set themselves against me around about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. You know, when you and I walk in the will of God and we make the stand to be set aside for him, understand that you're safe and there's no harm that can come to you. You can go out boldly and preach and teach Jesus Christ and tell the lost that they need their God, they need a Saviour. And there's a wonderful thing about being saved. There's a wonderful thing knowing that we have a rock that's higher than ours. We can come unto that rock in time of need. I really pray that as you read the Psalms, think of David here, and as he really did look at the idea that in time of trouble, he did call. And I'll just encourage you. Maybe sometimes you've called unto the Lord and nothing seems to have taken place. But I will guarantee you God's hand might seem sometimes slow, but it's always sure, amen. And he'll lift you up out of that miry clay and he'll set your feet upon the rock. So we will then continue next time into Psalm chapter 4. Please, I pray that you would learn Psalm chapter 1. And I'm going to close the Psalm chapter 1 because I think it's a very important just to get Psalm 1 in your mind. And if you come back with me, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.